Okay, what I'd like to try to do this morning is, in Yeretz Hashem, finish off this Mishnah. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we went through the, I think, pretty exhaustive study of Elisha ben Avuya's background. I mean, I should say exhaustive. As much as we know about Elisha ben Avuya's background, the different accounts as to what occurred to him that led him to not just leave Yiddishkeit, but really leave with such an incredible venom and vengeance. We spoke about his interesting relationship with Rabbi Meir, and he spoke about what we would all like to think is his tshuva before he passed away. So in our last class, we began focusing a bit more on the actual Mishnah itself and the different insights into the Mishnah. So let's pick up with that. So just a reminder, we'll just reorient ourselves, looking at number one for just a second. Elisha ben Avuya Omer, Halome Yeved Lemahu Domeh. If one learns as a child, to what can he be compared? The diok suva amiyar chadash, like ink written on new parchment. V'halomei zakin l'mahu doma. And if one learns when they are older, to what can he be compared? The diok suva amiyar machok, like ink written on smudged paper or erased paper. So already we began to discuss a couple of different approaches to this last week. So I think we left off with number 19 on your sheets. The last piece we did was the Abarbanel. We saw that the Abarbanel explained that as we go through life, all of our life events leave some type of what we'll call life residue on us, and therefore by definition blur the lens of the way we perceive ourselves, the way we perceive our worlds, and as such, when you're younger and you don't have all of that life baggage, life becomes a little bit, or life is a bit simpler and a little bit more straightforward. As we get older and we have more life experiences, there are things we learn that we have to unlearn, things we learn we have to erase, and the parchment of life, which really, according to the Abarbanel, is a metaphor for the self, becomes a bit more complicated. With that, take a look at number 19. Or maybe, did we do 19? Okay, number 19 was just, again, quick review. Rabbi Lau was quoting the idea that sometimes we think that if we don't take advantage of opportunities, they'll be there later on when we choose to take them. What Rabbi Lau highlighted is that even if the opportunities are present later on in life, they're generally not the same type of opportunities. Therefore, take advantage of the opportunities of your youth, for they will not be there when you get older. There'll be other opportunities available to you when you get older, but they will often be dramatically different than the ones of your earlier years. So with that, let's take a look at number 20. So we come on to the Rabbi Yona. So I'll tell you, start to ask you, what's the problem with this Mishnah? Well, what? Just looking at it, we've already spent a couple of weeks on this Mishnah. Just looking at the actual text of the Mishnah itself, how does it make you feel? Oh, so the truth is, if you think about it, it's a very, at least I find it a very depressing Mishnah. So it's great if you learn it when you're young. Fantastic, so you can take advantage of all of your opportunities. What happens if you're not looking at this Mishnah till the first time till you're older? So what's the best you're going to get? Smudged or erased parchment. So it's a strange type of Mishnah. And the truth is, the reason why it's actually bothersome to me, well, we'll talk about why it's bothersome to me. What were you going to mention? Same idea?
No.
Go ahead. Very true, but is that what Elisha ben Avuya is saying?
I don't see how it's negative, I just see that things compared.
What's the comparison between the Mishnah?
Just as smudged paper and clean paper, but just because it's smudged doesn't mean it's bad.
Did you ever go to buy a notebook and ask, can I please buy one that has writing and been erased? Give me the one that somebody returned. Right? It's beautiful. I love your optimism. It's fantastic. But a straight reading of the Mishnah is Elisha ben Avuya is clearly making a comparison. So whenever you're making a comparison between two things, by definition, a comparison is usually meant to do what? Show that one is better than another. Now, the truth is, not every comparison. Sometimes just to show that things are dissimilar. But at least in parchment, I don't think one could argue that clean parchment is better than erased parchment. Right? Whether or not, we're not saying erased parchment is bad, or erased parchment you can't do something positive with. Even Elisha ben Avuya is saying, you could still write on erased parchment, but at the end of the day, it's erased. So, I think it'd be hard to say, I think what you're saying is good. We're going to come to something similar to, I think, what you're suggesting. But I do just want to point out that when you look at this Mishnah, it's not one of those Mishnahs that leaves you uplifted and say, wow, this is great. This is fantastic. I'm so excited that I learned this. In fact, it's a little bit, I think, of an overwhelming, scarier type of Mishnah, that if you miss your opportunities when you're young, or you mess up when you're young, the best you can get when you're older is an erased piece of parchment. So like I said, good to learn it when you're young, but what do you do if, for argument's sake, you're learning this Mishnah and you're older already? So I want to show you something amazing. Take a look at number 20. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says something amazing. The Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Va'al Yomer HaZaken. A person shouldn't say, an older person shouldn't say, see, Rabbeinu Yonah is bothered by the same thing we're bothered by. What does an older person do with this Mishnah? I'm an older person. I know that I have not done what I'm supposed to do. I have not actualized my potential. I haven't lived up to my abilities. So now I'm reading this Mishnah. What do I do with it? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Va'al yomer hazakin hein ani eitz yavesh, acharei she'en haTorah miskayemes biyadi, v'lama ekra v'hevel yaga mikimi kol makum schar osa schar ito asher lamar v'tarach v'asa mitzvah." I'm sorry, before we go on. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, a person can look at this Mishnah and they can say to themselves, you know, remember, the Rabbeinu Yonah, how did he explain the difference, if you remember again, between clean parchment and erased parchment? Remember how he explained that difference? What's the difference in quality between erased and clean parchment? I'm sorry? Right, and therefore what? The clean parchment, the new parchment, absorbs the lettering better. The erased parchment does not. So essentially, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the metaphor is that which you learn in your youth, you will retain. That which you learn sometimes in your older years, you will not. So it says to Rabbeinu Yonah, a person might say to themselves, okay, I'm older. However we're defining younger and older, I'm older. What's the point of trying? What's the point of trying? After all, Isha ben Avuya told me that's what? Anything I learn, what's going to happen to it? It'll be forgotten. And even if not totally forgotten, clearly my powers of retention are not the same. So what do I do? So Rabbeinu Yonah says something amazing. He says, nevertheless, v'heva yaga ki mikom makom scharu itav, second line, number 20, asher lamad v'tarach v'asa mitzvah, umali malo, em lo yiskerenu she'ben kach u'ben kach haschar nosnen lo. So this is amazing. Rabbeinu Yonah says, who says that the goal of learning is retention? Who says the goal of learning is retention? What's the goal of learning? To learn. By the way, this is not that Rabbeinu Yonah is teaching us something amazing. I know this is very like antithetical to a college course, right? Where your goal obviously is retention. But he's talking about on a spiritual level. When we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the goal of Avodas Hashem? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from us? What does he ask?
To come close.
What does he ask for? Effort. All HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for in life is effort. Does the Ribono Shel Olam ask for results? No. Why? Because often we don't control the results. Now sometimes we do, but very often, especially in bigger things, we do not control the results. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't demand something of me that I don't have the ability to deliver. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all I ask of you is for effort. I control the amount of effort that I expend for any given life initiative that is in my hands, that is within my grasp, that is within my abilities. Therefore, again, says Rabbeinu Yonah, okay, so you're older, you can't retain it. Rabbeinu Yonah essentially says, who cares? Rabbeinu Yonah actually understands that the message of the Mishnah is there a qualitative difference between learning? And by the way, learning is a catchphrase, or is a catch-all. Learning means avodas Hashem. Is there a difference in the avodas Hashem of your youth and then when you're older? Is there a difference? Of course there's a difference. When I'm younger, I have more energy. When I'm younger, I have more vitality. When I'm younger, I have more opportunities. So of course there's a qualitative and sometimes quantitative difference. And sometimes can I say that the Avodas Hashem of my older years is not as great as the Avodas Hashem of my younger years? On an objective scale, is that true? Yeah. It could be true. But guess what? All that Kodesh Baruch Hu says is, try. Try. All I ask is for you to put in effort. So it's true, if you learn when you're young, you could retain more. If you serve Hashem when you're young, you could accomplish more. And if you didn't take advantage of your youth, unfortunately, but guess what? You still have your old age. However, we're defining youth and old age. You still have your old age. And just put in your effort. Either results won't be the same. Here's the good news. God doesn't judge you based on results. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just judges you based on effort. And so even though the results of youthful Avodas Hashem will be different than the results of Avodas Hashem in your older years, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is focusing on. All the Ribbono Shel Olam wants is effort at every single stage. What that effort yields, what those results look like, that's really up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I don't control the results. I just control the effort. So according to Rabbi Yonah, there's actually a very positive message here. The positive message is just try. Whatever stage you're at, even though you might recognize that the results may be different, don't focus on the results, because all HaKadosh Baruch Hu really asks you for is what? All HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you for is the effort. Yes?
But you might parchment kind of sound like a...
100%. So what the Rabbeinu Yonah would say is, what Elisha ben Avuya is saying is, yes, there is a qualitative difference. Meaning, if you're measuring Avodas Hashem on an objective scale, there is a difference between youth and old age. I can't argue that. But what the embedded message is yet they're both dramatically important. Why? Because what Elisha Baruch Hu doesn't really look at, Elisha Baruch Hu doesn't look at, is your parchment clean or is your parchment erased? What is Hashem looking at? Are you writing on the parchment? Are you writing? As long as you're writing, as long as you're doing, as long as you're trying, as long as you're growing, that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for. Yes?
And I don't understand the point of this mission at all.
Why?
Because this mission is telling us about the parchment and the clean parchment. It's not telling us about the effort.
So it's a good kashan that I've been a Yonah. Meaning, if that was really the message, why isn't that just a bit more explicit in the Mishnah? It's a good question. I don't know. It's a question on the Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah, especially, I'll even bolster your question. Pirkei Avos is kind of like a little bit of a straightforward limud, meaning the goal of these Mishnayos are to a certain degree to be somewhat self-explanatory. That the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that the real message of Elisha ben Avuya is, God doesn't care what your parchment looks like. He just wants you to write on it. Elisha ben Avuya should have been a bit more pointed in that message. It's a good kasha. But I like the Rabbeinu Yonah anyway. Because I think it's a dramatic message. And I think sometimes it's a message that we don't focus on all that much in our Yiddishkeit. You see, we live in a very result-driven world. Everything is about the results you produce. And it's true. Look, if a person has a job, right, and they show up, and every day they're working hard, but they're not accomplishing their tasks. So what's going to happen? You go and you sit down with your boss and say, listen, I want to tell you, I just want you to know, I'm trying really hard. I'm really, like, I'm putting my best foot forward. I'm really putting in the effort. What's going to happen? It's a very important lesson to learn. You will get fired, right? Why? Because if you're hired to do a job, you got to do the job. It demands results. No one cares about your effort. They care about your results that you have to produce. And if you don't produce, by the way, it's the same thing in certain relationships. Let's say, again, a person gets into a marriage and a person, they're having shalom bias issues. And one spouse is the cause of those issues. And they identify what the cause of those issues are. And the spouse says, I'm trying. So I'm trying is good. For how long? Right? Now give more than a day, right? For some amount, give your spouse more than a day, right? Yeah, some amount of time. But at a certain point in time, I need results. Meaning, if it's not going to change, I can't sit around in this compromised situation forever. So in general, most life situations are result dependent. Amazingly enough, there is one relationship in life which is not predicated on results, which is my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is incredible, because if you think about it, it is the most important life relationship I have, to a certain degree, certainly more important than my employer, to a certain degree, even more important than any of my human relationships that I have, and it's the one relationship that doesn't demand results. It just demands effort. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam, more than anyone, knows that I can't always control the results, but I always control the effort. I always control how much work I put in. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's the message. Some of us have clean parchment, some of us have erased parchment, some of us have parchment that's been erased 5 times, some of us have a parchment that's been erased 25 times, some of us will retain, some of us won't retain, some of us are not. Doesn't matter. Are you writing on the parchment? And as long as you're writing on the parchment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah. And again, I want to be clear, the point that the Rabbeinu Yonah is coming to do is he's trying to show how this Mishnah is not a depressing lesson, and how even if you have an erased parchment, you're not of lesser standing. You're not of less importance. Take a look at number 21. The Medrash Shmuel. So the Medrash Shmuel has a different approach. The Medrash Shmuel was Rav Shmuel di Uzida. He was one of the primary Talmidim of the Ari. So the Medrash Shmuel writes as follows. He says, Inami. I apologize for the quality of the print here. He says, Inami. Efshar, Shebala haftiach lezakin, Shelo yisya'ish mi lilmod. So listen to this. So the Medrash Shmuel is also bothered by this, because he says, if I'm an older person, I learn this Mishnah, why wouldn't I just throw in the towel, give up, and say, what's the point of even trying? After all, at the end of the day, the most I'm going to get out of this is what? Is an erased piece of parchment. So the Medrash Shmuel writes, Inami efshar sheba lahachnis lezakin, laftiach lezakin, shelo yit ya'ish. Tells the zakin, don't have yeush, al yis ya'ish, don't go ahead, don't despair, don't give up middle mode, but omru ein lekel yodi, ki ad ato, sikhli u kiniyar, kasav alav, hevle olam, v'lo ucha lichtov alav kodesh kadashim, ki eich yichtov ksav al gabi ksav. So listen to this. So the Medrash Shmuel says, sometimes a person, when they get to a certain age, we give up on ourselves. Why do we give up on ourselves? Because I say to myself, you know what? Using the parchment metaphor. I've had this parchment. I've written so much stuff on it. And the truth is, it's been so much narishkeit, so much silliness, so much stuff that didn't really matter. And my parchment is filled with just stuff that doesn't matter. Even if I wanted to write something spiritual on my parchment, he writes, Eich yichtov ksav agabe ksav. What does that mean? Eich yichtov ksav agabe ksav. How can you write something on top of writing that already exists? So what I'm lamenting now as an older person is I've spent my life with my parchment, and I've written like a lot of wrong stuff. And I don't mean like sinful stuff. I just mean like sometimes in life, you know, like you've learned hopefully the Mesiyas Yisharim. So you know the beginning of Mesiyas speaks about the Shar HaZihiros. So what does Zihiros mean? Right? Attentiveness. That you have to live life with attentiveness. That a person has to ask themselves, there's a tov ha'amiti, there's an ultimate good that I'm aspiring towards, and I have to ask myself, I'm about to do something. Will this action bring me closer to the tov ha'amiti, or will it take me further from the tov ha'amiti? So you have to, and every action either brings you closer, or brings you further, or takes you further from the actualization or the accomplishment or the reaching of your ultimate good. You have to measure at tall order every single action. So a person says, and then Ramchal writes, the greatest Yitzhar, what's the Yitzhar's greatest tool? Keeps us busy. The Yitzhar goes ahead and keeps us occupied, prevents us from thinking. So I do stuff, and I live a life, and I'm not attentive. You know how many people wake up in life, they wake up one day, and you say to yourself, you know what? I can't believe I'm here. I don't mean in this class. I mean, I can't believe that this is where I am in life. I had so many dreams. I had so many aspirations. I thought my life was going to be so different. I thought I was going to be different. I thought my family was going to be different. I thought everything was going to be different. And I don't know how this happened. So when people are self-aware enough, they realize how it happened. They fell asleep at the wheel of life. Because sometimes when you just stop paying attention to the road, you know what ends up happening? You just end up going on a detour, and you end up getting lost, but because I'm not paying attention, I don't even know that I'm lost. So I end up filling up my parchment with all different types of writing, of just stuff that it's not really what I wanted to fill my parchment with. And now when I wake up, I decide, you know what, I want to fill my parchment with meaning. What's the crisis I'm faced by? What's the crisis I'm faced, or I'm faced with? My parchment's full. So there's no room to write anything. It's full. It's full. It's filled with writing. I can't write anything. So it comes on the Medrash Shmuel and says like this. A person should say, He says, Al-Kain, I'm in Numbers 21, third line, in towards the end of the line. Al-Kain Amar, Elisha ben Avuya says, Ki af im behechrech hu yoser, Meshubach halome yelet, Ki uksuva al niyar chadash, Asher me olam lo avra lav hakulmus, Gam hazokin al yisya'ish milomod ba'omro, Ki uksiva al niyar kosov, Raku ki kosev al niyar machuk. So according to the Medrash Shmuel, do you know what the incredible novelty of this teaching is? That you have the ability to what? To what? To erase your parchment. You have the ability to erase your parchment. You see, the Medrash Shmuel was saying is, before I looked at this Mishnah, I love the parchment metaphor, right? The parchment is me, and my life circumstances are the things that are written on my parchment, and my goals, my aspirations, my dreams, all the stuff that's written on my parchment. And then one day I wake up and I say to myself, oh my gosh, it's the wrong stuff on my parchment. I don't want this stuff. I want something else. I want to write something new. I want a new narrative for my life. I just want a new story. I want new dreams. I want new aspirations. I want new goals. But I can't write anything new because the paper is full. To which Elisha ben Avuya tells me that I have the great ability to what? Erase. I have the ability to start over. I have the ability to erase my parchment. Now, is an erased parchment as nice as a brand new piece of parchment? No. But who cares? Who cares? In other words, what Elisha ben Avuya, according to Medrash Shmuel, is saying is something amazing. You know, there's a great phrase that I like to use often, which is, the perfect is the enemy of the good. If you hear that phrase? The perfect is the enemy of the good. What does that mean? There are some people in life who are looking for perfection. Perfection. They're looking for perfection in shiduchim. They're looking for perfection in careers. They're looking for perfection in their friends. They're looking for perfection in everything. Do you know what happens if you look for perfection in life? You're going to be looking forever. There is nothing perfect in this world. The only thing that's perfect, that's the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam is perfect. Outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm imperfect, you're imperfect, situations are imperfect. Everything in life has its imperfections. And if you're looking for perfection, and there are people who are, there are people who spend, you know, just like there are people, going back to our opportunities discussion, there are people in who are waiting for the perfect moment to take advantage of their opportunities, right? I know what I have to do, I know I have to do it, but you hear this all the time, it's not the right time. It's not the right time. When is the right time? I don't know, but it's not now. Do you think tomorrow? No, tomorrow's not going to be good. A year from now? Probably not. I just need that perfect moment. The sky's going to be blue. The birds are going to be chirping. There's going to be a northeastern wind at 15 knots. It's going to be perfect. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to be wearing the right outfit. My hair's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be perfect. And then, I'm going to seize the opportunity. And all kidding aside, there are people who go through life waiting for the perfect moment to seize their opportunities. You know what ends up happening? They end up spending a lifetime waiting. Because there is nothing perfect in this world. You know what the world does have a lot of? There's a lot of good. There's even a lot of great. But there's nothing perfect. So comes along the Medrash Shmuel and says something amazing. Elisha ben Avuya is giving us the greatest message of optimism. It's not a sad message. It's like the Rabbeinu Yonah, even the Rabbeinu Yonah, to be honest, besides the fact that it's hard to read his interpretation into the Mishnah, it doesn't even satisfy us so much. The Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, listen, don't worry about what you can retain, what's not good, just try, just put in effort. The Medrash Shmuel is saying something so much more powerful. The Medrash Shmuel is saying, I actually thought that I messed up and I was done and I can't start again. I actually thought my biggest problem is I filled up my life parchment with all of the wrong stuff. And now I realized it's wrong and Nebuch, I can't do anything about it. Comes on Elisha ben Avuya, he tells me the greatest message. What's the greatest message? You can erase. And if you can erase, what does that mean? I can what? Start again. I can rewrite. Oh, but one second. It's not such a nice parchment. It's erased. You know what the answer to that is? It's good enough. It's good enough. It's a blank writing surface and I can write what I want. Yes? Yes, excellent. Hold on to that. Yes, this irony is screaming at us. Hold on to it. It's going to become a bit more acute. Excellent. Hold on, 5 more minutes. Five more minutes. So again, what you see according to the Medrash Shmuel is something so beautiful. No matter how old you are, even if you're a zokin, if you decide that your parchment is filled up with all the wrong stuff, you have the ability to erase it, start again. Aye, but one second, it's not going to look as nice. Who cares? Who cares? You don't need the perfect opportunity. You just need a new opportunity. An incredible and overwhelming lesson that Elisha ben Avuya is giving us about the ability to start over when? When? Whenever you want. Aye, it's not the same. You're right. It's not the same. It's not the same. When you start over in life, you know, if you start over when you're 20, your do-over looks one way. If you start over when you're 40, your do-over looks another way. You start over when you're 80, your life do-over looks a different way. At every stage in life, the parchment looks different. But here's the beautiful part. You can erase it as many times as you want. There's no limitation. You can keep on erasing. And even though it doesn't look as nice, who cares? The goal is that you have a clean writing surface, that you can rewrite your life narrative, your dreams, your aspirations, your goals, and you have the clear writing surface to do so. Which then brings us to number 22. And this is going to be the last, yes?
Does that mean for the opposite also?
In what sense? What do you mean?
Like, even if you had something good written, something happened.
Absolutely. This is a very important point, right? We're trying to stay positive here, correct, and focusing on rewriting for good. But unfortunately, yes, a person could wipe out the positivity on their parchment, erase it, and then unfortunately fill it with negative things. Again, who's the perfect example of that? Elisha ben Avuya. And again, which goes back to the irony piece. But yes, unfortunately, tragedy. See, the difference is, I think we'd like to think that, like the Talmud Devot writes about this, that when it comes to mitzvos and averos, they don't cancel each other out. So it's not the pshat that, like, I did 10 mitzvos, I did 10 averos, so like the sum total is zero. Like I'm back at square one. Mitzvos are exceptionally profound. Therefore, have a koach that transcends averos. So, you know, I think we'd all like to think that if I do mitzvos, those to a certain degree are locked in for me. And even if I make tragic mistakes and erase the parchment, I can't really ever erase the mitzvos. But yet, we see that people who do much good in life go ahead and erase the positive parchment and fill it with negative things. So, at least on a human level, the answer is yes. On a schar va'onish level, obviously, I don't know. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. Take a look at number 22. Rabbi Lau has two beautiful pieces here. So in 22 in A and B, he talks about this idea actually. Let's look at this quickly, although it's not really our primary, it's not really the piece I want to focus on. Look at 22A. Kama Rabbi Asino Daikwes Lashana Mishnah, Sha'amra Halomeit Yeled, Velo Amra Halomeit Bialduso. This is actually a very interesting ha'ara. What's the ha'ara that Rabbi Lau is making? Oh, so what's interesting to note is as follows. You see, the way we've been translating this Mishnah this entire time is one who learns when he is a child. So the truth is, Rabbi Lau just points out, the more accurate way to say that would be halome bialduso. If someone learns in his childhood, then he is like ink written on a clean piece of parchment. Halome biziknuso. If one learns in his old age, it's like he's writing on a race pressure, but it doesn't say that. It says, halomeid yelet. Halomeid yelet. Halomeid zokin. What does that mean? This is actually amazing. Lomar lanu, eina kavana lahashas bein tkufas hayalus tkufas hazikna, ela bein yelet lezokin. What does that mean? Take a look at paragraph B. Reb Yitzchok Meir Migur, the Chiddush Arim writes, ki halomeid yelet, huze shebelimudo noe ki yelet. Who nigash the limudo bechedvas neurim, who chash simcha bechol davar chidush, who sakran ladaas ulahavin kol davar. So the chidushim says something amazing. He says halomi gelad is not talking about a chronological state. It's not about someone who learns in his youth. What is it talking about? Someone who learns like what?
Like
what does it mean? Like a child?
Excitement.
Curiosity. So really what Elisha ben Avuya is actually talking about is what is your approach to Yiddishkeit? What is your approach to Yiddishkeit? Right? Is your approach to Yiddishkeit like a yeled or like a zakin? Actually, it's nothing to do with how old you are, and it's everything to do with your attitude. Halome yeled, when one who goes ahead and learns with the excitement like a child, the curiosity like a child. So what happens? That's like what? A brand new piece of... What's nice about a brand new... it's harder for us to relate to this. But what's like a brand new piece of parchment? There's apparently like that brand new parchment smell. That excitement. Anything new is always exciting. Because anything new has limitless possibilities. So if you learn with a childlike excitement, it's like having a brand new piece of parchment. What's Lomed Zakin? What does that refer to? Take a look at paragraph C. Lu'umaso yesh adam shelo meid mitoch mitzos anashim milumada. Ze ish asher nigash lelimur haTorah ba'adishus ubechoser ratzon. Limudo na'ase mitoch korach v'lo mecheshek pimi. What does this mean? What does it mean, Lomed Zakin? By rote, no real energy, no real excitement, nothing special to it. So says the Chiddush Harim something amazing. Elisha ben Avuya is not talking about the stage of life in when you're learning. He's talking about your attitude towards your Avodas Hashem. Am I childlike? Everything is exciting. Everything is special. Everything is beautiful. Or am I a Zokin? Is it just by rote? Am I just going through the motions? But there is nothing actually to it. There's no depth to it. I'm just going through the motions. And this is dramatically amazing. I'll give you just a single example where I learned this lesson in such a profound way. I remember this was a couple of years ago, and my youngest daughter came home. It was Parshas B'Shalach, and she was speaking about the Kriyas Yamsuf. She's the Devar Torah. You know, the kids come home with like 17 binders worth of Divrei Torah. You need like 7 Shabbos Yudos to get through everything. So my daughter's telling me all about splitting of the Yamsuf. And she's telling me how there were 12 tunnels, and each shevet went through a different tunnel. And again, there was food in the walls, and you could reach inside the water, and you could grab it. Imagine, Shabbos Rabba, Shabbos Rabba, and you could grab whatever you want. And she's getting so excited about this. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm exhausted. Is this going to be over soon? Right? But then I caught myself. I said to myself, you know what? That's the difference. Why don't I have... I know that medrash. And I can say over that medrash, why don't I have that excitement? Why don't I see... For her, she sees this. Now granted, it's the first time she's seeing it. But there's an excitement to it. She sees it unfolding in front of her eyes. She sees the shvatim going in. And she sees them probably in her young mind's eye, grabbing whatever candy they want out of the walls of the Yam Suf, stuffing their faces, and it's incredible. The Yam Suf, candy, this, Kadosh Baruch Hu, all wonderful. And it's exciting. And it's exciting. And there's nothing else that she would rather be doing than retelling that medrash at that moment. And that moment, that's what Elisha ben Avuya is saying. In life, in Yiddishkeit, we have to try to find our inner child. We have to try to find that inner excitement. Because the challenge we encounter with our Yiddishkeit, because often we're doing the same things over and over and over, that they become rote. They become habit. They become very unexciting and uninspiring. Now again, the truth is we're good soldiers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so even if it's unexciting or uninspiring, I still do it, which is part of our avoda. But nebuch for one who settles for a spiritual life like that. Nebuch for one who settles for a spiritual life of what Elisha ben Avuya calls ziknus. In Yiddishkeit, you have to make a choice. Are you going to be a yeled or are you going to be a zokin? Are you going to bring your excitement, your optimism, your beautiful energy to your avodas Hashem? Or you're just going to check the boxes and do what you have to do to fulfill your obligations. Do what you have to do to go ahead and meet the requirements, but no energy, no excitement, no simcha, nothing. Now again, I want to be clear. Certainly better to be the zakin than to be nothing, but so much better to live life like a yelled. Yes?
Very difficult to try to make things exciting. Is there like any eights?
So the answer is yes. The answer is there are plenty of eitzes for how we do that. We're actually going to touch on that. It's actually interesting. This is why I'm doing the Mishnayos in this order. Our next Mishnah, we're going to deal much more with Ahislavos in Avodas Hashem. But like most things in Yiddishkeit, the first step is Ratzon. You see, when you're dealing with the world of spirituality, you're dealing with so much amorphousness. I don't know if that's really a word, but I'll use it for now. Right? So much amorphousness, because I'm dealing with a Baruch Hu, who is amorphous. I'm dealing with energies in myself that I don't fully understand. So much begins as, what do you want? What do you want out of life? Do you want to be a yelet in your avodas Hashem? Saying to yourself, this is what I want. This is what I want out of my Yiddishkeit, is the first step. What are the day-to-day steps? So we're going to get into it, but the quick answer is, there's no one answer for that. Everything has its own set of etzos. So tefillah is a big area where this comes up, because we daven every single day. Same thing almost every single day. So how do you find that yaldus, that childlike excitement in tefillah, in chesed, in Torah? So different forms of avodas Hashem require different things, but I think the first step is, do you want it? Do you want it out of life? And if you want it out of life, I think Kadosh Baruch Hu, once he sees that you want to be a yeled, or in this case a yalda, Kadosh Baruch Hu helps you along that way. But I think there's a dramatic different understanding. So now it has nothing to do with old age versus young age, but rather, again, this is ageless. Teaching of Elisha ben Avuya has nothing to do with where you're holding in life, biologically, right? But rather has to do everything in life, or where you're holding in life, almost from like a hashkafic point of view. Not a hashkaf, hashkaf is the wrong word. From a, what's the right term? From a disposition or a life perspective avenue, what do you want out of life? Do you want to be the yelet? And if you want the yelet, everything is going to be like the Ne'ar Chadash, or you're going to be like the Zokain. Just everything is by rote, going through the motions, no excitement. Yes?
But this approach, it doesn't have to do with him. Because he was doing nothing.
With Elisha ben Avuya. Correct. The nice part about this approach is it's just a statement of Elisha ben Avuya that may or may not have anything to do with his life story. That is correct. Now watch this. Hold on to this last piece. With this, we're going to close out the Mishnah. So if you look at letter D. So remember, this first Pshat Rabbi Lau quoted was the Chidushi Arim. The Chidushi Arim has a grandson by the name of the Svas Emes. Same Hasidic dynasty, Gur, Ger. So the Svas Emes is something amazing. But look at paragraph E. He says, so the Svas Emes writes, Ezehu Zokain. So now what we've begun to see, by the way, is we have so far now two interpretations of a zakein, right? Either number one, what does zakein mean? Old, good, just somebody who's biologically old, or
not excited,
right? Someone uninspired, we'll call it, right? Someone who's just doing things ultimately, again, in an old type of fashion, just going through the motions. Comes along the Sasam, and he gives a third definition. Ezehu zakein, havi omer, Ha'adam ben shishim umala. So I would have thought, what's an old person? Maybe 60 years old and above. Be careful who you share this with, right? Maybe 60 years old and above. Ba'ofen amarchiv es amusa gelet. So ben shishim, right? Pachos mikan hari ulome gelet. Okay, so I'm in paragraph E now. So what's a zakein? So I don't know, maybe a zakein is anyone above 60. A gelet is anyone below 60. Says the Samus, no. Look what he writes. Paragraph F. Ezehu yelet ze Sheyeshlo Machar. This is so beautiful. What does that mean? Zeh Sheyeshlo Machar? Someone who had literally a tomorrow. Someone who has a tomorrow. What does that mean? Kol od nishmasa bekirbo, nikra ha'adam yelad, biyachas liyom shel acharav, lemacharas yaskina adam biyom nosaf, leumas hayom hazeh. So before we go into this, let me explain these aspects. So Sasamis quotes this concept elsewhere a little bit differently. He says, if you look, we often measure time in the continuum of years, or maybe sometimes months, weeks, days. Sasema says, imagine for a moment you look at life just through the prism of a day. So imagine for a moment every single day is its own lifetime. Say, wake up in the morning, what do you do? Mazel tov. What just happened? You were born. Okay? Comes later in the morning, another mazel tov. What did you just reach? We'll call it bas mitzvah. Right? Comes midday, another mazel tov, marriage, couple of hours, another mazel tov, mishpacha. Comes already mincha time, already again, you're taking out the walker with the tennis balls on the bottom. Right? And then what happens? The sun sets, baruch dynamis. Right? Another unit of life has come to a close. Says this Svas Emes something absolutely amazing. Every single day I open my eyes, I am a yelet. Every single day I open my eyes, I have been given not just a new day, but a new unit of life. And the question is, am I going to maximize it or not? And so what happens? If I go ahead and I let a whole half a day go by, I come to mid-afternoon, I haven't done anything yet. Okay, I'm still in this world. I'm old already. I'm a zakin already. I still have a couple of hours. If I accomplish nothing, that day comes to a close. Baruch Dayan MS on that day is ended. But here's the amazing part. What do I have? I have tomorrow. And says it's Sas MS, something absolutely amazing. Every single day when I begin my day anew, it's a new lifetime. And I am a yelet. Yaldus, youth, is not the period of time between birth and 20, or birth and 30, or birth and 40, whatever amount of time you want to quantify. And ziknus is not between 60 and 120. Every single day that I'm given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I begin this new unit of life as a yelet. And the Svas MS says something amazing. So what happens? Now I'm X number of years old, and I haven't utilized properly the days before me. So Rabbi Lau writes, he says, look at the last three lines of paragraph F. Alkein, ein tam lehit ya'esh, velivkos al chalav shenishbach. What does it mean? Velivkos al chalav shenishbach? Don't cry over spilled milk. Now that's not the Svas MS's lashon, right? That's Rabbi Lau's lashon. Don't cry over spilled milk. So what happens? Sometimes I look back at life. And sometimes it's the most overwhelming thing when a person looks back at their life and they say, you know what? I'm very unhappy with the life that I lived. I'm very unhappy with what I have, or more precisely, what I haven't done until this point. And it's depressing. Because sometimes when a person looks back and they say, look at all this time that's behind me, that I did not maximize. So it is easy to fall into the pit, into the abyss of depression and yeyush. Says the Svas MS, don't. Why not? Because tomorrow, what happens? You start all over again. Tomorrow morning is a brand new rebirth. You don't like how yesterday was. You don't like how the day before was. You don't like how the last 20 years were. It's okay. Tomorrow is a brand new opportunity. Tomorrow is a brand new beginning. And therefore, says the Svas MS, this is the message of Elisha ben Avuya. Halomed yeled lemahu dome. Yes, if one learns Torah as a yeled, what does yeled mean? He's not saying like his Zayda, that yeled means with hope, with optimism, with energy. So he's compared it to like a brand new piece of parchment. But here's the beautiful message. So the message is what? The message is every single day when you wake up, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you? Every single day? A new piece of parchment. Every single day you get a brand new piece of parchment. Now what ends up happening? So you have a choice with using that parchment. So some of us utilize it to its fullest. Others of us, what do? We write the wrong stuff. We erase. We rewrite. The beautiful part is, even if you write the wrong stuff, you could erase also. But here's the beautiful message. No matter how badly you mess up your parchment today, what can you bank on? That you get a new one tomorrow. Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a brand new slate. Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a brand new piece of parchment. Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a brand new beginning. Sometimes we use that new piece of parchment. Well, sometimes we write on it when it's fresh, when it's pure and it's pristine. Sometimes I write, I have to erase, I have to re-erase, I have to rewrite. But no matter what happened with the parchment of yesterday, one thing is clear, which is, today, this morning, you got a brand new one. And even if you mess up today, tomorrow you'll get another brand new one. And as long as you open your eyes in the morning, one thing is guaranteed, which is you are getting a brand new piece of parchment, a brand new beginning, a brand new opportunity to start fresh. And now if we kind of link this all together, we begin to see, as was mentioned, the tragic irony of this Mishnah. What's the message that Elisha ben Avuya is teaching us? What's the message he's giving us? You can always start again. You can always start again. Either you could start again when you're old, and you could just erase the parts like we saw in the Medrash Shmuel. And okay, the parchment is not perfect, but at least you could erase it and start again. Or like the Svas MS is saying that, no, literally, every single day you get a brand new piece of parchment. But the message is the same. The message that Elisha ben Avuya, now I want to point out, the fact that the Mishnah is attributed in his name, Elisha ben Avuya, tells us what? Tells us what?
That he said it when he was.
That he said it in his youth. He said it, again, anytime you find a statement attributed to Elisha ben Avuya, it means he said it, bless you, before he went ahead and he went off. before he left the derech, before he turned his back on Yiddishkeit. So the primary, and I want to point out, what's Pirkei Avos? I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, but what is Pirkei Avos? So if you could imagine today, if they were assembling Pirkei Avos, so an email would go out to the Gedolei Hador saying, submit to us your 2, 1, 2, 3 most important teachings. Right, so we can compile that in a sefer that is there for all of Chai Yisrael, the Olam Vaed. Which means that when Elisha ben Avuya is approached for his submission to Pirkei Avos, they ask him, what is the most important life lesson that you could give to Jews for all eternity? And what's his most important lesson? What's the most important lesson? You can always start again. Every single day you get a brand new piece of parchment, or every single day you could erase your parchment and rewrite, whatever it is, it's the same message. You can always start again. But amazingly enough, the very message that Elisha ben Avuya gives us for all eternity, tragically, was the one message he himself could not ingest, could not accept, could not actualize. For reasons that we discussed, either because he projected, right? He just thought that he was so broken, he knew that he didn't like himself. He projected onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu and assumed that if he didn't like himself, God wouldn't want him either. Either because, as we saw, sometimes people know things but they just can't act on it. It was too difficult for him to turn his life around. Whatever the reason was, the tragic irony is Elisha ben Avuya is the one who teaches us that every single day you get a brand new piece of parchment. That was the lesson that Rabbi Meir was trying to tell him. Oh, Rabbi, Chazor Becha, come back. Come back. You taught us that you can erase your parchment. You taught us that every day you get a brand new piece of parchment. Come back. We'll erase the parchment together. Or go to sleep, and tomorrow morning you wake up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the greatest gift, which is a brand new piece of parchment. And for whatever the reason, Elisha ben Avuya was able to preach this to everyone else, but was unable to accept it for himself. Although, remember, our little bit of Nechama in the Elisha ben Avuya story is what? Is that, again, maybe his deathbed, maybe it's those tears that erased the parchment. Maybe it's those tears that fell into the parchment of his life, which was filled with so many averos and so many missteps and so many negative things. Maybe it was those tears of tshuva that were able to ultimately erase his slate, that were able to erase his parchment, and enabled him to hopefully leave this world as a Baal tshuva. That we'll never know. That only Elisha ben Avuya knows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, but at least we can be optimistic, we can hope that the man who taught us that the new parchment is always available, that erasure is always available, hopefully availed himself of that same opportunity in his final moments of life. Yes?
It's not like weird that we learned it from him, though.
Say that once more.
It's not like weird that we learned it from him, though. Like, why don't we learn from someone who actually did?
I'm sorry?
He might have.
Maybe he did. Maybe the inclusion of this Mishnah was representative of Chazal's feeling that maybe he did do tshuva at the end. I don't know, but I think that the answer to that question is Chazal are telling us that something that sounds so simple can be so difficult to inculcate in yourself. The Haraya, the very author of this Mishnah, who taught us this profound concept himself, couldn't live it. So there's a profundity in that teaching that just because it sounds so simple, be it sometimes it can be so difficult to apply. But I would rather go with the idea that maybe Chazal saw in Elisha ben Avuya's tears his tshuva, his cleansing of his parchment, and his departure from this world is a complete Baal tshuva. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll continue Meretz Hashem later on in Parak Daled on Monday.